Growing up, I loved playing computer games, but I have not found something in adulthood that scratches that same itch. Video games don't do it. I can't use that controller. It's just not it for me. But oh my goodness, I am so glad I recently started playing June's Journey. Okay, June's Journey is like I Spy meets Carmen Sandiego, meets The Sims, meets horror movies. It's so wild and it's so, so fun to play. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game with a captivating detective story taking you back to the glamour of the 1920s with a diverse cast of characters. Each new scene takes you further through a thrilling murder mystery story that sets the main protagonist, June Parker, on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. June is fabulous. She has a fabulous little hat and feather in her cap. She's at this family estate on this gorgeous island that you can decorate, which you know that I love to do. And then as you're going, you go into different rooms of the house. You find clues that are going to lead to the suspicious murder of June's sister and brother-in-law. It's so dark. Like, you're looking for clues inside of a murder scene photo. But also, all I want to do is find the trophy and the riding crop and the muddy footprint that might be a clue about, wait, was there another person there? It's so intriguing. It's so fun. I love playing it. At the end of the day, just sitting on the couch, you know, that state of mind where you're not ready to go to bed yet. You don't want to be watching TV anymore. It's sort of just background noise. I want to be looking around my little island for clues. And that's why I love having June's Journey. Right now, I'm in the chapter where we are really uncovering some salacious information. There seems to have been a third person there the night of the murder. And that is not what we believed at the beginning. So, you know, I'm ready to figure out more about this mystery third person because I think it might be the key to everything. And so you better believe I'm about to dive back in, and you can do just the same. Escape reality and immerse yourself in the world of June Parker. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy,
and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily. I'm scared. Really scared this week.
Ooh, more scared than usual?
Yeah, about at my ceiling.
Okay. Would love to see what happens when you exceed the ceiling.
I don't think you do.
I'm Henley, and I'm just like averagely scared.
I'm Sammy, and I'm brave.
Yeah, great. You are.
You want me to rank the braveness?
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, how brave are you?
You know, I'm a little less brave. Yeah, I'll say I'm a 7.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. I'll say I'm an 8 scared. I'm not a 10 scared, actually.
Okay, okay. In not case, at the ceiling.
Not at the ceiling, actually.
Almost at the ceiling.
I'm at, upper deck. did anything scary happen to us this week?
Something scary happened to me this week, okay. Which is that... former ambassador and national security advisor to Obama, Susan Rice, accidentally emailed me.
Oh, that really makes me laugh.
Which, not just accidentally emailed you like the details of her schedule, which is extremely not secure.
She CC'd me on an email with her agent from CAA.
That is so crazy. And she is a national security advisor.
And it had the details of her like book tour and scheduling for a CBS interview. And
let's show up and get her on the pod.
And the thing that's crazy about it is that it wasn't like an assistant from CAA or even the agent. It was literally Susan Rice herself CC'd me. Personally, I've never interacted with her.
And it's also like, you don't work at CAA. Like, why was she adding...
So I did a little bit of research, right. And I figured it out, I think. Well, A, I figured out that her assistant has the same last name as me. So that's step one.
Okay, step one.
Step two is that she is on the board of Netflix. And so she technically has a Netflix email address. And so I think she must have the Netflix, like, Rolodex.
So she went to type Cox.
Mm-hmm.
and yours somehow popped up.
And she didn't notice.
Got it.
And I bet her assistant got in a lot of trouble for not replying to that email.
Although, you know what? I forwarded it to him. And
oh
he
my God,
and he wrote back. Wait, actually, hold on.
Yeah,
I need
please.
To pull up the email just to read it out loud.
It to her. Oh my gosh, that's really kind of you.
So I forwarded it to Alexander Cox and I said, I think this was meant for you. And he wrote me back and he said, are you sure Susan didn't mean to share her frustrations about book purchases with you? Several question marks. Ha 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 ha. Thanks, Henley.
Wow. Do you know him?
No.
Oh. It's so conversational.
And I wrote back, ha 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 ha. I'm honored to have been included.
Wow. That's really honestly fun.
That
I
is
like
fun.
How that worked out for you.
Anything scary, Sammy?
I went on a friend date last night.
That's fun.
And I feel like they're scary, but they're fun.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Her name is Sarah and she listens. So hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
But yeah, I feel like I particularly never meet anyone because I work from home. And we just met at a party where neither of us knew anybody. And we hung out.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. That's like rare.
It's really rare.
Very often.
Yeah.
Especially not just to meet someone you like, but like to go out. Like, I won't engage in conversation with someone I don't know. It's like there's so many steps that
right.
it take
right.
for that to happen.
It, yeah, it requires a level of vulnerability that
on
I'm
both,
just
on both ends.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Just not equipped
yeah,
for right now.
Which is scary. Vulnerability is scary.
It's mm-hmm. very scary. Well, what'd you guys do?
We went to a storytelling night in Atwater Village.
That's
it was
cool.
It was really fun. Yeah, it was great.
Oh my God.
Love that.
Yeah.
So proud of you.
And it was like based on horoscope stuff, which I love
yeah.
that.
Perfect.
Yeah. Taurus moon themed storytelling night.
What's her sign?
She's Capricorn, Henley, like you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. No wonder you guys get along so well.
It's true.
Wow.
Meant to be.
Meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
Emily? Anything?
I mean, I was going to say I had to cut my nails short.
Brutal.
It's been really scary.
Big week.
Big week for me. No, my company that I work for is moving offices. So that's really been my whole week is like putting things in boxes and like moving furniture. And I've been really working on having long nails and like growing them out and doing this like super hard gel polish that keeps them long. I was really excited about it. And I was like, there's just no way I can make it through this week with them. So I cut them short. I will get them long again.
Aww.
But I was really, because I also have like stubby, weird little like hobbit child hands and I hate
oh
them.
God.
And the nails
they
made me feel
normal.
Like a
They're
real woman.
Beautiful hands.
Thank you so much. They're not, but thank you. and the nails really made me feel like a lady and I miss them. So
hey, they'll be
scared.
Back.
They'll
be back.
They're just nails. They're just nails. But. Mm-hmm. It's not really been an eventful week for me, so that's pretty much what I've got. What's our movie, Sammy?
Our movie today is The Silence of the Lambs.
Ugh,
came out in 1991.
I'm really excited.
It's scary.
I know
scarier
nothing,
than I remember.
I know nothing about it except that it's very scary and very good.
Yes.
Best picture, best actor, best actress. At the Oscars that year.
Best director, best screenplay, 5 Oscars.
Holy hell. That's
crazy.
All the, that's
what?
Like most of the
That's
things.
Most of them. That's most of them.
I didn't know that.
That's
yeah.
Very
no,
awesome.
I didn't either. But then watching it, I was like, it checks out.
Oh, damn.
It's
I'm
fucking
so excited.
Good.
I was talking to my dad today. He's a listener. Hi, Dad. and I told him we were doing Silence of the Lambs. And he was like, it's really scary. I'm excited. I'm excited.
It's directed by Jonathan Demme, written by Ted Talley, based on the Thomas Harris novel, starring Jodie Foster, Anthony Hopkins, Scott Glenn, Anthony Heald, and Ted Levine.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. And we're so excited to have our guest this week who chose this film. she is, there's so many things to say. She is a comedian at UCB. She has 3 podcasts. We've got Cardition It. We've got 90 Day Bay. And we've got A Funny Feeling.
Yeah.
Those are her 3 podcasts. And she's a writer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And she's here with us today. It's
Hi.
Marcy Jarrow.
Hi,
Marcy. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And thank you for being here.
I was so pleased to get to watch this again.
Yeah.
I'm like really thrilled that you picked it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
And I especially think that in the era we're in now and like you know, this kind of what we call, what would you call this, third wave or fourth wave feminism?
we're up there.
Yeah, it's maybe eighth. But this is a really feminist film. Ooh. So, yeah. And that's why I love it so much. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, first, Marcy, did anything scary happen to you this week?
Always. but I'm still going to rank myself pretty low. I'm going to say I'm a 3.
Okay, that's fair.
But can I do 2? Just
please,
real quick. Okay.
Please do.
One, of course. I already said while we were taking our picture, can you edit this? Because I have laser bruises on my face from getting a rosacea treatment.
God.
And it's like, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Yeah.
And like the dermatologist, because she once said, you can come in before work, it won't be bad at all. And then the day of, she's like, it's going to be the worst.
Oh, no.
In 2 days. And I was like, what the fuck?
Really?
This is some mixed information.
Yeah.
Did it hurt while it was happening?
It hurt, not bad, but just like little zappies. It's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she showed me like a mirror, I laughed so hard because I was like, I have bruising all over my face and chest.
Oh, did you have to go to work right afterwards?
No, okay. I'm on hiatus, so it's fine.
Okay. And it's winter, so sweaters.
Yes, I'm wearing a sweater, and I did search history that night, and my improv show, UCB Franklin. And I was like, it's fine, I put makeup on. And Nicole Byer was like, what are those black dots all over you?
Oh, no.
I was like, thank you.
Thank you so much.
So that was the one scary thing, but also kind of funny that this lined up. I just finished reading The Stranger Beside Me by Anne Rule, which is about, it's Ted Bundy's actual coworker who she happened to be a crime writer for like magazines, and then they worked at a crisis center together.
He like confided in her, didn't
they
he?
They were very close friends. It's a really interesting read because she cares so much about him.
Whoa.
Wow. And they had like a genuine like relationship.
Oh, that's so scary.
So wild.
That Ted Bundy documentary was like the most scared I feel like I've ever been. I was like, I'm never going on a date with anyone ever again. Yeah. Never helping any man on the street. Never talking to anyone.
Yeah. And so I was listening to that. And then my roommate's out of town. So at like 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm asleep and I hear a crash.
Oh, no.
In my house.
In your house.
In my house. And I have a cat.
Okay.
I was like, fuck, what is that? Yeah. So I was like, I think it's in my room. So I just turned my light on and my purse had fallen off. But it was fine. I was a little scared though. But I response was,
God damn it. I'm in danger.
I was asleep, murderer.
Can you just chill out? I said the F word a couple times. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay.
We're explicit, baby.
Oh yeah.
Bring
well,
it,
huh? Good, because there's some stuff in this movie that
it would be pretty hard to be a podcast of this genre.
Well, you could be like, and then her boobies, and then the F'd.
Hi everybody, it is cocktail hour, and this week's cocktail is a killer cocktail. That is the name of the cocktail, and also a great descriptor for it. It's great. to make a killer cocktail, you will combine 1.5 ounces of Disaronno, 1 ounce of gin, 1/3 ounce of Italian red bitter liqueur. We're talking Campari. We're talking Aperol. Take your pick. 1/3 ounce of Gifford's passion fruit syrup. And 1 ounce of freshly squeezed lemon juice. You will shake all ingredients with ice and fill into a rocks glass filled with ice and garnish with a lemon zest twist cut like a shark fin and add 3 drops of cranberry bitters or grenadine as like a bloody shark attack thing. And I didn't see the shark attack component of this cocktail when I picked it. I was just going for straight regular human killer vibes. But when I made it, Emily got really nervous because she's very afraid of sharks. And she said, there are no sharks in this movie, right? And I just really like to imagine a Silence of the Lambs where there's also like a killer shark component. But there's not. I'm sorry. Or I guess good thing for Emily. Yeah. Enjoy. Cheers.
Also, when you were talking about the crew of this film or the cinematographer, I think deserves a huge shout out because Fujimoto. Mm-hmm. This is such a beautiful movie.
Yes.
Especially for it to be so like dark and bleak.
Mm-hmm.
It's shot so well.
Oh, cool.
In fact, I think you're going to have to watch this.
I might.
Yeah. We should watch it together, Emily.
Okay.
I feel like,
we've said that before.
Yeah, we should have
a marathon day where you guys have to watch every movie you've agreed to watching.
No. I really mean it with this one.
I do mean it with this one too. The thing is, I know this is very scary, but and it's crazy because it's been out for 30 years.
91.
Yeah, 91.
I should know that because that is the year I was born. Marcy. God, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was born in the 90s.
I'm a spring chicken. But I know nothing. I like really know nothing about it.
It's so good. Like I said, Agent Starling, Jodie Foster, is like truly, she is the ideal feminist in a few ways. One, like, she's strong and tough and you are on her side, and like, how amazing to have this protagonist that men and women both identify with, because she's like,
right,
you know,
that's also like good writing. Shout out to the writing.
It's great writing. Yeah. And then on the flip side of her being this ideal feminist for like everyone, she's also like sort of like a man's idea of what a tolerable feminist should be like. She's smart and she's strong and she's beautiful, but she also downplays all of that. And in moments where she's actually confronting men about their behavior, she does it in a very gracious way. So she doesn't hurt their egos.
Yeah.
So it's like a very interesting thing. Even like up through the end, like, she's vulnerable through the whole thing.
Right.
Even like, you know, and like the end sequence of it. Like, she's so strong, but she's also like, oh, a woman who everyone else views as beneath them and weak, and they objectify her. There's so many shots from the very first shot of the movie. She's running alone in the woods, and so you feel the sense of like dread.
Mm-hmm.
She's like running but she's wearing pearl earrings.
She is.
Yeah.
Isn't she wearing like a sweatsuit too? Like I have that image in my head for some reason.
Ooh. Yeah. So she's like this little woman running through the woods wearing sweats and a turtleneck.
Sure.
Early 90s.
Trying to sweat it out. I mean,
you gotta sweat it out. And when you weigh 98 pounds,
keep it there.
Gotta sweat it out. And so she's doing this obstacle course at the FBI Academy. And then she's called off the field. But just like the sense of her alone in the woods with the scoring of it, it seems scary immediately.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, she's like doing a thing.
Yeah. And then she like goes into the building and she's drenched in sweat and like, you know, a mess. And she immediately gets onto an elevator full of like a dozen men, and
yeah,
it's like,
there's so the like male to female ratio in this movie, it's constantly.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. But first, I am curious, Marcy, you're a big scary movie fan in general, yeah?
I mean, I like, it's so weird because I sort of do find myself watching a lot of scary movies because my friends watch a lot of scary movies,
and that's why I just assume, because
so fan
this,
by
yeah.
proxy,
yeah. But I like ghost stories.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I love to talk because I think I love the oral history element of telling ghost stories.
Uh-huh.
And I just love anything supernatural. And I that doesn't always like hit the same mark for me.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So it's more like you have a specific interest. It's not necessarily going to be scary movies in general.
Like, this is good, like, because it's like, it's not like a slasher scary thing. This is just like an intense, like, psychological, like, drama.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Okay, well, let's watch the trailer.
A killer is on the loose.
Keeps them alive for 3 days. Then he shoots them, skins them, and dumps them.
A rookie FBI agent is on his trail.
He's got real physical strength, cautious, precise, and he's never impulsive. He'll never stop.
But in order to track him down, she'll have to match wits.
I'll help you catch him, Clary.
Believe me, you don't want Hannibal Lecter inside your head.
With the darkest of all minds.
Just do your job, but never forget what he is.
Thank you, Clary. Thank you.
Wow. even just off the bat, that's not what I expected it.
I feel like the trailer's cut like a little.
The editing in that trailer is crazy.
It's a little insane.
I feel
insane.
Like trailers of okay. that time didn't. I don't know. I've never seen a trailer quite like it.
It feels like it's like an early 90s movie, but it's got that 80s like.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a world.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah. Well, I guess let's just dive in.
Okay.
Right? Are we ready?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Should we do trivia? Or no trivia?
Oh, I guess.
I don't, nah, we don't have any trivia. Nah. Let's just dive in.
Who cares?
I just want to dive in.
Would the trivia even be?
Sometimes it's like sometimes we do some.
No, we just do like fun facts about the movie.
Oh, can
like
I?
Behind
do
the
you
scenes.
Have one? I have one.
Oh, please. Great. Please okay. share.
There is one of the most interesting cameos in this movie.
Ooh.
You may remember a song, Wicked Games.
Mm-hmm,
Wicked
of course.
Games you play.
Of course.
Make me feel this way. That's Chris Isaak. He plays a cop with four lines in this movie.
Whoa.
Whoa. Was he trying to be an actor before Wicked Games?
Don't know.
Interesting.
It's so interesting.
Huh. Weird little cameos are fun.
Did like, you like independently recognize him
yes,
or did you?
I was like, that's Chris Isaak. Why is he here?
That's great.
Because he's like a babe. Like, you know, I think he only had like three songs that were great, but he's a total hottie, so it's like, yeah, of course he should be an actor. And they're yeah. like, yeah, you can say a couple lines.
I mean, we'll give you four.
We'll give you four. If they're important, I mean, it's fine.
Okay
that Chris. Was great. A plus.
One thing I wrote down is just that Buffalo Bill is a combo of three real life serial killers. Mm-hmm. Ed Gein, Ted Bundy, and Gary Heidnick. Mm-hmm. I guess I won't tell you what they're famous for yet.
Yeah, no spoilers. Okay.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
No spoilers.
We'll talk about it.
But they're all scary.
All right. Well, fuck it. Let's do it.
Okay.
I have tried a lot of meal kits in my day because I don't like to cook. I need as much help as I can get when it comes to meal times. But a lot of the kits I've tried, you know, they leave a little something to be desired. They're not super great quality, or maybe there's not great variety, or they feel just kind of unhealthy. So imagine my surprise when I found Marley Spoon and discovered it doesn't have to be that way. You can have it all. I'm so happy this podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. They created the best tasting meal kit money can buy, and with my code TOOSCARY, you can get up to 25 free meals. They have over 100 meals to choose from each week, so you will not be getting bored. Last night, I made a shrimp burrito bowl that was so good, and tonight I'm making a Shion-style cumin turkey burger with pickled veggies and five-spice fries. Excuse me, am I a five-star chef? You have any idea how boring all the stuff I usually make is? This is such a treat. And usually for something like this, I would pay probably $40 to have something delivered to me, and it would probably be gross and soggy by the time it got here anyways. So thank God for Marley Spoon. And you can customize many of the recipes. So whether you're looking for vegetarian, family friendly, low carb, they got you covered. They also have an online market of pantry essentials like snacks and ready to eat options. I'm telling you, you can have it all. I got a kit to make cookies in my first box. So experience the most personalized meal kit today with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/too scary and use code TOOSCARY for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/TOOSCARY for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code TOOSCARY so they know I sent you.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Yeah.
So we have Agent Starling, our feminist hero. She is called into... So she's just a student at UVA and training with the FBI. And she is called into an FBI agent who teaches at the academy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I want you to go talk to a guy. And she's like, is this about this serial killer called Buffalo Bill. And he's like, no, not really. No.
Yep.
And she's like, this is Hannibal Lecter. He is a psychiatrist who was also a serial killer. He ate his victims, or ate parts of his victims.
Hannibal the Cannibal.
He's played by Anthony Hopkins.
He ate parts of them?
Yeah, like he was like, there's like a quote in the movie that's like, I ate a liver with a fava bean and a nice Chianti. Yeah.
Classic.
So like, yeah, he eats. Also, like, this is like, he is a great character that has been portrayed in many movies and television shows. And Anthony Hopkins might have the most famous version of him,
right?
Because especially if you watch, like, has anyone seen the NBC TV show?
I haven't.
Series,
but Hannibal? That guy's good too, right? Is it, what's his name? Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's the same, like literally Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
The same.
Okay. Yes. But when you watch Mads' version of it, and then you watch Anthony Hopkins, you're like, what is he doing? He's like, hello, Kelly. And it's like very over the top, but it like strikes a chord where it works. So he sends her over to the asylum, wherever he's kept, and she's to like talk to him and just gathering info. And she gets there and she's met by this like Dr. Frederick guy, who's this really pompous guy who runs the institution, and he is so arrogant. He immediately starts hitting on her, and then
when
she rebuffs him, he's so mean to her.
As happens, yeah.
And he's like, "Why did I even walk you over here? I could have saved my." And
she's like, "He's such an asshole."
And she does that thing of like, "Well, I enjoyed your company." Like,
tries to like stroke his ego a little bit.
Please
at the end.
Please don't ruin this important meeting I have because you wish you could fuck me.
Yeah. All right.
I have a question. How old is she right now? You said she's at UVA. Does that mean she's in graduate school or college student?
I would imagine her to be 24.
Yeah.
Okay.
25.
Yeah. Okay.
And right. So she is walking down this corridor. In fact, I think it's really interesting too that almost every single man in this film is objectifying her or dismissive of her or literally a predator for her, except for this one black man who is. And it's very interesting because it's all white men who are the predators.
Interesting.
And then the women in the movie and the men of color are the only ones who aren't actually her predators.
Wow.
Right.
And it's such an interesting like statement. That's why it's like, it's interesting to watch it in like today's era.
Right.
So Barney is his name. And he's like, it's okay. Cause she's like walking through this like row of like the craziest, most psychotic murder, whatever guys.
God. And they're like heckling her.
Yeah. One guy literally, as she's walking down the hall, he's like, I can smell your cunt.
Okay.
It's so upsetting.
It's so upsetting. And that's not the worst thing he does.
No.
So.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So he's like, I can smell your cup. But Barney's like, I got your back. If anything happens, I'll get you.
Yeah, like, you'll do fine. You'll do fine.
And
like,
he's like,
here.
I put a chair out there for you. Like, you can tell
he's the asylum.
Yeah, he's like the guard / orderly. He's like wearing white. So it's like hard to tell. So she gets there. She meets Hannibal Lecter. He's immediately like sizing her up. Mm-hmm. And he hears the guy say, I can smell your cunt. And he's like, what'd he say? She's like, he said you could smell my cunt. He's like, I unfortunately can't. And then he starts sniffing the air.
Oh my God.
And he like says what he can smell. He's like, I can smell that you like wear this kind of perfume.
But not today.
You usually wear it, but not today.
Yeah. And he like knows what kind of face lotion she wears and like, which is crazy. God. Cause like, it's one thing to like be able to identify a lot of smells. It is quite another to like know all the popular brands of beauty products a woman of 1991 would be wearing.
Yeah. He's on top of it. He reads a lot of 17 magazine.
Yeah. Especially because I assume he's been in prison for a while at this point.
Right. I mean, I think I can't remember, but it's been years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's sniffing around and he's like sort of insulted that she's been sent there.
Because she's such a newbie. Yes. He's like, Crawford must like, why is he sending like, like inexperienced people? Like, what are you doing here? Like, I'm a big deal. Who are you?
Who are you? And then she immediately like knows how to play it. Mm-hmm. Like, she is like, well, I'm not going to interrogate you. I just hoped you could tell me some things.
Yeah. She says like, I hope to learn from you and maybe you can decide if I'm worthy of that or something like that.
Which is the perfect thing to say to him. Because
that's so smart.
He fancies himself like a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, so.
Yeah.
So they have a little weird meeting where they're kind of like, it's like a bit, everything with them is cat and mouse. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that the trailer presents it as she's going to match his wits when really it's just she's not pissing him off.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is like really important to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like he said, the last person that antagonized him, he ate their liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, thank you.
And she was like, no. After he made fun of her cheap shoes.
Mm. He's rude.
He's rude.
He is rude.
But then, like, as she's, like, leaving, and I didn't write explicit notes, so tell me.
Yes.
Like, he, like, gives her a little, like, info, but I forget what it is.
Well, so what happens is she starts to leave, and as she's leaving, the guy in the cell next to him.
Oh, yeah, Miggs.
Miggs.
Is, the cunt guy? You're going to like this. You're going to really like this, ladies.
Yes.
Oh, no. Can't wait. Can't wait.
You want me to say it or
you say it?
Well, I guess he's been masturbating because whatever. He hasn't seen a lady in a while, and he throws cum in her hair.
He throws it through the bars, and it goes right in her face and her hair.
Yeah.
And Hannibal Lecter is like so mad by it that he like calls her back, and he's like, Starling, like come back. I find that like disgusting what he just did to you.
Because he's a gentleman, you see.
Of course. I mean, he's going to eat his liver with a nice glass of wine.
Yes, he's fancy.
And so he says the little piece of info he gives her is, so I'll tell you to speak to one of my previous associates or something, Miss Moffitt.
Yeah. And he gives her a lot of coded language. Like every time he tells her anything, it's always like she's running away because something else disgusting is happening. And he's like, Agent Starling. And she runs back and he gives her a little bit of coded information. That's always a riddle.
Yeah. Mm. And again, I was saying this on the set. We did Seven, and I would just be the worst detective, FBI agent, because I would never come to any of these conclusions. So she like figures out that, oh shit, he says something like
Miss Moffitt is it's the answer is within yourself or
it
something.
Says within yourself, and she says the yourself seemed a little on the nose for him. So I looked up storage units in the area. They're in Baltimore. And they find a yourself storage unit, and she finds that there's a unit reserved by a Miss Moffitt, but it hasn't been used since 1980.
Hold on, how'd they get to the storage unit part of this?
No, she just like thought she like
she
thought
did
of
some
it.
Research.
He says like he go said, check into this a former patient of mine, Miss Moffitt. The answer is within yourself, and she's like, what the fuck? Wait, let me think about this. So
it's like a riddle.
I know, but then storage unit, I mean...
It's okay, called yourself storage.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay.
Like, it's
Emily? Emily knows.
Emily?
No, that's what I'm saying, is that these are all conclusions I would never get to. I'd be very bad at this job.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She's great.
I guess unless you knew, like, oh, this person likes to present riddles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, she likes to play around.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to this storage facility, and it's, like, not an important plot point, but, like, she can't get the door open, and there's an older man trying to help her, and he like can't do it, and none of the men will help her essentially. So she gets like a car jack from her trunk and like jacks the door up, and then right before she goes under, she does this like thing that's like, I think it's supposed to let you know that she's smart but not foolish. She gives him a card that says, if anything should happen to me, the FBI knows I'm here with you.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Call this number.
Right.
So she like let him know, like, just because I'm a woman alone doesn't mean you're going to like do anything. Because I think it shows you she's scared and she's smart.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. It's like she doesn't think of it before then. It's like she's halfway under the door.
Right.
And then she cuts her leg, which comes back later.
Yeah.
Owie.
It comes back later because like Hannibal Lecter can like smell these things.
It's so weird. I mean,
apparently
it really
can
is.
Smell a lot of things.
Upsetting.
Yeah.
Strong olfactory sense.
Yes.
You know, Kim Kardashian can as well. She can. She
Ooh,
says
she's
she can smell when people have a tooth. What is it
like
called?
Decay in your mouth?
She can smell when
like
someone
a
has
cavity?
A cavity. Yeah.
Oh my God.
No
what?
Way. Is that the source of her power?
I think it's all the money.
Yeah.
Or is it that?
Wow. One or the other. I don't know.
It doesn't hurt. So she's in the storage facility, and it's immediately so the imagery inside the facility is so spooky.
Mm-hmm.
There's like taxidermied owls, and there's a hearse that is covered by a giant American flag.
Mm.
Read into it what you will.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolism. So immediately she's like, oh, I guess I gotta get inside this hearse.
Oh no.
So mm-hmm. She gets into the hearse, she's looking around, and there are like weird mannequins and stuff in
oh,
there
yeah.
which are just spooky. And then there's some object that has like a handkerchief draped over it.
Oh no.
And she rips it off, and it is a glass container jar with a head inside of it.
And like a formaldehyde head.
Yes, and the head has fake eyelashes that are like coming off.
But it's a man's head. With fake eyelashes.
Gross.
And then does it just cut to, there's like a part where Crawford, the like her boss, tells her that Miggs was found dead in his cell.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
Who is the one that threw cum in her face.
Because thank you for reminding us.
Hannibal.
And yeah, I mean, they're in different cells. Like, he couldn't get to him. And they just said that Hannibal was whispering to him all night and he swallowed his own tongue.
And trust me, I've looked it up. It's not a thing you can do.
Swallow your own tongue.
I mean, if you had a really long one, maybe like Gene Simmons could swallow his own tongue.
Gene, look out.
Gene, watch out.
Watch out.
But like, you couldn't like
swallow your own tongue.
I'm trying to even get it back.
No,
there.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Okay. Well, yuck.
Still spooky.
Bad.
Yeah. We have a lot of check-ins with Crawford where he's like, all right, good job. Also, here's a lie. So I'm going to make you look stupid later.
Yeah.
Oh, he's lying to her.
Like all the time.
Yeah.
Because he
constantly
didn't send her there just to like get some like.
Yeah.
He sent her there because he believes Hannibal Lecter has direct connection to this serial killer Buffalo Bill.
He thinks he knows something.
Yes.
And she's like mad at one point, like, I wish I would have been in on like why you're doing this.
And he's like, well, if he would have even smelled it on you, it would have been, you would have been done for. But it's
so
like
you were like my stupid pawn.
It's like, yes. Yeah, he's like, yeah. Doesn't trust her. Like, he's like, you're the brightest I have. I don't trust you at all.
So then do we think that that's not really how Meg's died, or is it? Migs, mugs.
I mean, I think that's
I think it is supposed to be the story.
Yeah, I just
basically
looked it up
that. Basically that. Yeah, he like tormented him to death.
Okay,
just with his words.
Okay, scary.
And he's like, Migs, I see you over there drifting off in your cell. Oh, I don't like it. I think it's bad. I did a perfect impression.
And honestly, it was good.
So then she, Clarice goes back to Hannibal Lecter after finding the head.
He's like, oh yeah, that's a former patient of mine. And this, it's a little like, this movie has some weird, not only is it like feminist and also like showed you about misogyny, but it has a weird like transphobic element to it as well.
Right.
He uses an old timey word. He calls his patient a former patient, a transvestite, who he's like, I didn't kill him, but he was the person who rented the storage facility. He just found him dead. His lover had killed him. And he just kept the body there, or the head of the body there. So
yeah,
just like a fun hobby.
Yeah, it's not. He's normal.
Well, it's interesting because he's a serial killer, and he was treating this man, Miss Moffat, who was you know trying to transition, but Miss Moffat was dating another man, and that's who.
Oh, and he says that man killed someone,
killed.
And Miss Moffat knew about it, and so she in the therapy sessions was like, oh, my boyfriend is like, I'm scared of him, and then he came in for a session,
yes,
and that they think this is Buffalo Bill.
Yes,
he's implying that this is Buffalo Bill that came in,
and we're to assume that that's who killed Miss Moffat.
Yes.
Got it.
Is this when he has the weird?
He's trying to bargain with her a bit. He's like, I have some information about Buffalo Bill, and
quid pro quo, Clarice.
Yes, he says that.
Very relevant.
Thank you for bringing this podcast into the current moment.
That's literally what he says.
He literally says it.
Really?
Yes.
That is not
quid pro quo. Wait,
quid? I can never say it.
Tongue twister.
Quo.
Squid bogo.
Oh my God. Is anybody watching Watchmen because they say squid pro quo in it? Because there's squid.
No.
There's squids in it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Squids raining from the sky.
Squid pro quo.
That's why Donald Trump had to write it out in big letters.
No quid pro quo.
I can't say it. Big fat letters.
I won nothing.
So Hannibal Lecter.
He's basically,
the same as Trump?
Yeah, he's
he's a little more polite.
He's so much smarter.
much smarter.
So much smarter.
But yeah, he's like, I hate my cell. I'd like to be transferred. Like, I could maybe scratch your back if you scratch mine.
Yeah,
type thing.
And we're learning the whole time that, like, he's got like a bunch of his art up. He's got like Mm-hmm. Like he's listening to classical music. Mm-hmm. So he does get punished for making Miggs kill himself.
Oh, right.
Okay, sure.
And like the bad Frederick, Dr. Frederick, is making him like listen to evangelical Christian television.
Like blasting it.
Blasting. He's like, when you leave, he's going to turn the volume up again.
He loves his like little torture.
And all of his like drawings that he's like an amazing artist. All of the drawings are gone. He's taken away. Like he's drawn like Italy and like different parts of Europe. And it's like very intricate drawings.
Right. Mm. And yeah, he's like, talk to Crawford. Do what you got to do.
He wants to sell with a window.
Mm. Yeah.
That's his big thing.
And he's like, your man's probably looking for his next victim right now. So then we cut to a woman in a car. Her name is Catherine.
She's listening to Tom
American
Petty,
Girl.
American Girl. There's two really famous songs in this, and that's one of them. Mm-hmm. And she's singing it a little off key. She's a big woman. She's very, like, there's a confidence about her.
Yeah,
like,
she's having a great time.
Yeah, you can tell. She's, like, the kind of girl who probably goes out and drinks whiskey and then, like, smokes a joint and blah, blah, blah. Like, she's, mm-hmm. like, cool.
Oh,
but
God.
Also not a classic American beauty because she's mm-hmm. a larger woman.
Mm-hmm. And so she gets back to her apartment and her little cat is in her window, in the yes. window waiting for her and
it's
meowing.
A big Mabel.
And she's like, I'll be right in there. And then she sees a man kind of with a cast on his arm, kind of struggling
Bundy.
To move a couch into his van
also,
back.
Like, no, anytime you see a man anywhere, just run away.
Any man anywhere, run.
Just turn around and run away.
Also, like, if you see a guy trying to move a couch while he's wearing a cast, like, let him figure out his life.
Yeah, that was
exactly.
He's made a lot of bad choices to get here.
Yes.
Let him figure it out.
He has put himself in this situation.
This is his choice.
Mm-hmm. Women, stop fixing men's problems for them. My God.
Especially because they'll push you into the van.
Probably well, yeah. murder you. So she's helping him out and he's like, he forces her to get into the van first.
Yeah, he's
no.
like, you back in so I can like slide it in.
Mm-hmm. And then
she's like, okay. And then he says, what are you, like a size 14?
Rude.
While she's in the van.
And oh, this like, is not a good sign.
And she's like, what? And then he like
punches her.
Oh yeah, he like climbs in and punches her.
With
closes,
the cast.
Closes the van doors behind.
And this is Buffalo Bill.
Yes,
maybe.
That's yeah, okay. yeah. That's who we're to believe that is. Yeah. And also, that's what Ted Bundy.
That's
did.
What Ted Bundy used to do.
Oh, he would force the.
He would
the
like
same
lure
thing?
Women into cars by pretending he like had an injury and was trying to move something.
Yeah, he
that
would
was
have
his.
Like he would do. Sometimes he would have like a cast on his arm. Sometimes he would have like a cast on his foot. And he'd have crutches and like he'd keep dropping a briefcase or like.
Well, and he was so handsome.
And he was like right. handsome enough. He wasn't even so handsome.
Yeah, that's true.
He was just
I
handsome
guess for
enough.
A serial killer.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like nondescript white guy. Yeah. But fine. We would all date him.
I mean, also like the most
Does
powerful person in the world, technically nondescript white guy.
Yep. No offense, you all listening. So after he knocks her out, he cuts. Her
blouse open.
Off. Yeah.
Cuts her blouse open and like
touches her back.
Her, like caresses her
no.
back in a very upsetting way.
No. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah.
oh, and like he looks at the tag and she is exactly a size 14, which interesting.
I mean, he probably cuts off a lot of women's clothes.
Yeah. He knows.
He's good at
well,
what
he's
he does.
Specifically looking for women of that size.
Yes.
We're to assume he's taking her somewhere.
There's more to happen. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
more
then
to come.
Then they find a body.
There's
right?
been a body. Yes. So they find a body. They go down to, is it West Virginia or?
I can't remember.
So they go to this town, like they fly on like a private FBI plane, get to this small town with a bunch of like backwoods. Like cops and stuff. And they're all in this funeral home where like there's family there. It's a lot going on. And Crawford does this thing with the sheriff in the town. And he goes, yeah. The sheriff starts to talk to him and he goes, you mind if going in the other room? I don't want to talk about this in front of a woman. And no. Starling is so mad.
Yeah,
I would be too.
So she gets like left in the room with like.
They do it?
20 just male police officers.
All sizing. And trust me, like
she's there for that reason.
Every yeah. time she is like alone, men are looking at her ass. Like they have so many shots of men just being turning around and like sizing her up. And every man smiles at her. Every man in this film does mm-hmm. a creepy little smile at her.
Ugh, God.
I burped into the mic. Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
I didn't hear it. Okay, well, don't edit it out. Leave it. There's also a thing we didn't mention earlier, but they're in their cut and in between a few scenes, like you see flashbacks to her childhood. Mm-hmm. Because at one point Hannibal asks her about herself, and like we find out that her dad was a cop. Mm-hmm. He was, I think, a single parent, and he was
killed. She said her mom died when she was really young,
and so killed in the line of duty
when she was 10.
So has like this flashback in this funeral home, and then is taken to the back where the body is kept in the morgue, I guess.
Mm-hmm. They're doing like an autopsy,
and it is a pretty graphic scene.
Yeah, well, they didn't like show the body for a while, and so I was like, are they gonna show the body, or is this gonna be the thing where I'm filling in the blanks type thing? And then they showed it, and it was very gross.
A fully nude body of another woman who's a larger woman,
but it's not the woman we saw before.
Different woman. Oh, no. And we find out she was found days after her murder. Like
Well, she was found longer. So they have found two bodies prior to hers that have been Buffalo Bill victims. She is the third, but through the autopsy, they found out she was the first killed.
Yeah, that he weighted her down and like in the river. Mm-hmm. So they find
she's not the first body they found, but was the first person he killed.
Yeah, time-wise, had to be the first kill.
And they say that each body they have found, he has kept them alive for at least like 3 days prior to killing them.
Oh, God.
So he's doing this thing where he's only attacking these larger women who are not even like large. They're like just a size 14? 14 or 16.
Yeah.
And there's so much to read into that. One is like he catches them and then he starves them before he murders them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're finding out.
Mm-hmm.
But two, another thing is like the idea that maybe these are lonely women who might be more gullible, who like there's so much to read into, like why he's choosing them and like what everyone's ideas about this larger woman who would take any attention from a man possibly.
Right.
It's really like, it's an icky aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So Starling's taking pics. So they reveal the body. She has two diamond shape cutouts on her back.
Mm-hmm. Like he's taking the skin off.
He's taking the skin off.
Oh, they show that to you.
Yes. Oh, they show it to you.
Oh, God.
And then they roll her over, and she like looks at a picture of the woman's mouth, and she sees bruising on her tongue. And she's like, there's something in her throat.
Mm-hmm.
So she's smart because she's like, there's something in her throat. And another guy's like, probably she was in the river. Could have been
maybe
like
a leaf. Yeah.
So they get into her throat and they pull out a chrysalis.
Oh, hence the image of the movie.
So it's like a cocoon.
A cocoon. So
he put a cocoon
down her
because it's so perfectly preserved that like you could only imagine that it was placed there.
And she notices that her like fingernails, she's missing fingernails and has like dirt all in her fingernails.
She was trying to climb out of something.
Yeah,
so they're in the car ride back and they're kind of like discussing what they found, and like she's like giving her idea like who, like basically she's profiling who she thinks this could be, and she's like, He's like, hey, Starling, it bothered you back there, what I said, right? And she's like, yeah, it bothered me. He's like, I just did that because, you know,
I had to get rid of him.
And she was like, well, you're with the FBI and a small town police officer looks to you. So the way you behave matters because that's how they're going to behave.
And damn. He's like,
yeah.
And he says, point taken, and then immediately falls asleep. I'm like, you suck.
Good for her for saying that so perfectly and clearly and concisely. Yeah. And that's what I wish I could do in moments like that.
Yes. Well, I guess you're not the perfect feminist icon.
I'm working on it.
Then we cut to Buffalo Bill's little lair, his spooky lair.
Ugh.
We get a look inside. He is naked at his sewing table. There's moths flying around.
He's wearing a scalp.
Oh, I forgot.
He's wearing a scalp. It may look like a wig, but it's a scalp, guys.
It's a
guys.
Scalp. Oh, it's a scalp with
disgusting.
Hair.
Disgusting.
Yes.
And you hear the woman like screaming, like, help, help, like, where, like oh. just, oh, and no. she's kind of far I'm away and he's like probably playing music and not like paying attention to her. He's just focusing on his sewing with the creepy moths flying around.
I don't want to know what he's sewing.
And then it, that's all we see of that. Skin.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we find out that the woman who has been taken is a senator's daughter.
Yes, we see like a press conference and the senator is a woman.
Mm-hmm. Hey, which hey, I hey. Yep, love that.
Her name is Ruth, Senator Ruth Martin, and she is
from Tennessee.
From Tennessee. She's a junior, a Republican senator.
Oh,
from Tennessee. Mm. And so we have Agent Starling and another one of her other academy mates. What is her name? Ardelia? Yeah, let's say it's Ardelia. So Ardelia is a woman of color and Agent Starling's best friend, like their right. best friends and like the only two women that you see in the academy, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like watching this press conference and they're like, and she's like, that's smart. That's smart. She keeps saying her name. She's like trying to humanize her daughter so that he'll see her as a person. Mm-hmm. And then we cut back to.
So then Starling gets sent into Hannibal Lecter again because they're like, okay, now there's a sense of urgency. We need to find this girl. And so they're going to offer him
the window,
the deal. Mm. In exchange, they're like, if we find her and we find her alive, we're going to transfer you to this prison with a window, view of the ocean, and 1 week a year, you're going to get to go outside.
Oh my God, no.
And well, you'll be under like extreme security, of course.
You'll
and,
get to
like,
swim in the ocean. Oh, but no. You'll blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He didn't even ask for that. Why are they giving that to him? Come on.
Because they want him to give him the goods. Yeah,
they're like, they want the girl.
They're like, if she dies before we find her, then you get nothing. So we just need your full cooperation.
Mm-hmm. And what information does he give her now?
Like, and this is when he says the quid pro quo. He's like, I'll
quid
give you
pro quo.
He's like, I'll give you information if you answer some of my questions.
Yes. And this is where we find out about her dad and mm-hmm. and his death, and that she goes after his death, she goes to live with her aunt mm-hmm. who lives on
like a ranch
and
yeah, farm.
And she wakes up in the middle of the night because she hears this screaming. It sounds like a child screaming, mm-hmm. but it's. Mm-hmm. These lambs that are going to the slaughter. Mm. And so she like goes out in her nightgown and it's freezing outside and she tries to open the pen to like let them go, but they won't. They don't leave. So she's so upset. She decides to carries one of the small, the spring lambs, and she runs away with it and doesn't get very far because she's a young girl and it's freezing and it's wet. And like, and then she's found and the farmer was so mad that like she was sent away. So like, and he's like, do you still hear them, Clarice? The lambs screaming.
She's and like, apparently she does.
Yes.
Yes. And he's like, you hope if you find this woman that the screams will stop at tonight?
She's like, well, I don't know, but it would be nice to maybe her.
I would love a win.
Die.
I would love a win.
Love it.
And then.
When do we have the scene with the two little ornithologists or whatever? What's that called?
It must have been in between. I think that's
someone
right.
Someone who studies
little
smugs?
Bugs?
Little
moss?
Bugs? Yeah. Is it entomologist?
An entomologist studies bugs.
Okay. Yeah. What's an ornithologist?
I don't know.
Is
that,
nothing?
Is that birds? That might be birds.
Might be birds. That sounds so like birds.
Is that what scene is
so
it?
That's somewhere I think before this where she goes to identify what the cocoon is exactly.
Yeah, and this man, they have two guys and one is like very clearly autistic. The other one has like very like crossed eyes. And Mr. Cross Eyes is like hitting on her hard. But it's funny because when someone is a peer of hers or someone not in control over her, or, like she doesn't mind it. Like it makes her so nervous when it's like someone who is scary or
right.
of authority. But like this guy is just like, she's like, are you hitting on me? He's like, I absolutely am. I'd love to take you out. And, she's right. like, and then it's like kind of like a softer uh-huh. interaction than has right. been with her and every other man who's like coming after her.
Yeah, because it doesn't right. feel like a threat as much or something. I mean, it's like that's such a commentary on how that's like how it really is.
Yeah, right. And they identify the moth as something from Asia or something. I can't remember. Something that is not here. They would have to have like imported these bugs and raised
care
them.
Of it, and like it's very difficult to like raise these. They're called the Death's Head moth.
Oof,
and I actually have a painting of it in my kitchen. Yeah,
it's spooky.
Yeah, I'm a creep.
Then we see a pretty famous scene of Buffalo Bill lowering lotion.
Oh yes,
into so she is in a well.
Catherine
is her name.
Starved. She's cold. She's wet at the bottom of a dry well.
Oh,
in
God.
His basement.
And he's lowering lotion to her and he says, it rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. And she's like sopping wet and crying and like screaming like, please, mister, please. Like my mom will give you. I want to see my mommy. She's being like begging him. And you can see him kind of like. Kind of struggling to like keep his composure
a bit. He gets really upset. And it's interesting because he calls her it.
It, yeah.
Because he doesn't want her to be a person.
Right.
Yeah.
Gross. And so
there's a little tiny dog around too.
Yes, he's holding his dog Precious.
Precious. Oh, and let me tell you, Precious, that's not Precious's first job in film.
Ooh, Precious, I saw Precious in the credits.
Precious, her name is Darla, and she has quite a good resume.
Oh, Darla, really?
Congrats. She's been in a few things. So go on with yourself, Darla.
Yeah, so then she's like begging to be let out, and he like eventually is like, put the fucking lotion on your skin, like loses his temper.
And she starts screaming because as he like lowers down this bucket, there's a light on it, and you see on the walls of the well, bloody claw marks and a fingernail, which is why the lady in the morgue was missing her nails because she was trying to claw her way out. So she starts being like, and he starts mocking her. He's screaming back and he pulls his shirt out to indicate to make them look like breasts. Mm-hmm. And he's screaming while like shaking his fake boobies at her.
Yeah.
Oh,
whoa.
My God.
What a psycho.
He's very scary.
Psycho, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I think they named this movie wrong. It should be called Psycho.
That one was taken, unfortunately.
Psycho 2.
Psycho as well.
Another psycho.
Jesus Christ.
So in the like Hannibal Lecter's bargain, he says the man's name is Lewis. His real name is Lewis. And I will tell the rest to the Tennessee senator herself. Like he wants to go on a little trip.
No. Little vacation.
Yeah. So they take him to Memphis, Tennessee to meet with the senator.
And he's wearing the iconic face mask and the straight jacket. And he's like strapped to a gurney.
His
that's
nose
upright.
Is smushed in it.
That will make her feel better.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's mostly just because they really can't tell what he could do. Like,
right. He'll bite people's
faces
off.
Well, no, I just
off.
Mean like to get a visit from a sociopath when she's like, wondering where her daughter is.
Yeah.
And also, like, we find out in the first time that Starling meets him, like, when Dr. Frederick is warning her not to get too close, that, like, he had, like...
Oh, right. He had, like, a little photo of a nurse.
He faked a health issue and then went to see a nurse, and he, like, basically bit off her face.
Yeah. When she, like, got too close to him, he, like,
she didn't
ate
die,
off her face.
But she got her good.
She didn't die. That
they
makes
were, like,
it worse.
We were able to mostly relocate her jaw.
Ugh.
But she didn't have a tongue. It's graphic, guys.
Jesus Christ.
We don't see the picture. We just hear it. So
and
he shows her and she's like, okay, and great. In 10 minutes, I'm going to get cum thrown in my face. This day sucks.
not a good day.
Being Thank in you. The FBI.
Ugh, it's hard.
It is hard.
And it is hard.
Honestly, it sounds really hard.
The easiest thing I did this week was run in the woods. And that was uphill.
And I was wearing a turtleneck.
And pearl earrings.
So as they're going to Memphis, they're like completing the transfer and they're like, we just need you to sign this paperwork. In an earlier scene, we had seen Hannibal eyeing Dr. Frederick's pen. And so in this scene, when he's like going to sign the paperwork, he can't find his pen. And someone's like, use mine.
Right,
and
bro.
We like get a little zoom in on Hannibal Lecter being like,
oh, no.
Hannibal Lecter is a cartoon character, essentially. But he does it. It's so funny how he really toes the line between being like this crazy heightened version of like, ah, see, ha 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 ha, I'll tie you to the railroad tracks. And like, but Anthony Hopkins manages to like pull
it
off.
He's so good. He's so scary. So then they like wheel him. He's like basically on a dolly.
yes, he's on a dolly with his
strapped to it with his crazy face mask on, gonna go talk to the senator. Mm-hmm. And he says his name is Lewis Friend, the murderer, and Buffalo Bill's real name, and that he was in a relationship with the head that they found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that he believes he's transgender, and he even tried to get a sex reassignment surgery at John Hopkins, but they turned him down. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he believes he's transgender, but he's not. Like, that's a big, he thinks he is, but he's not.
Yes.
Like, weird.
Okay.
And then he's like, Senator, did you nurse Catherine? And she's like, excuse me? He's like, did you let her suckle at your teat?
He's like, makes your nipples hard, doesn't it?
And he's like, you know how...
Toughens the nipples.
You know how when you lose a leg, sometimes they still feel the sensation? When she's laying on the slab, what part of you is going to tingle?
Oh my God, it's so gross.
So horrifying.
It's honestly
so
horrifying. You guys are so good.
Thank you.
I am so impressed.
Oh, God.
But then he says,
it's so rude, though. He's like, talking about your tits.
Yeah, also, like, not helpful to this woman.
When your daughter's dead, no, your tits are going to tingle.
Oh, he's having fun. This is how he has fun.
Look, he
not what
likes
a gentleman
to,
does.
Look, you're not here for a long time. You're here for a good time. You know what I'm saying?
So then she's like, get this monster out of here. And then he's like, Senator, one more thing. Love your suit.
Great. It's great. Love the suit.
Love the suit.
It's so... He's always like... kind of like negging women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like, it's like cheap shoes.
Mm-hmm. He's very materialistic.
Love your suit. Yeah.
He's like a perfect example of capitalism.
He really is like
he's late stage capitalism.
He's an elitist and
yes.
Yeah. In all the
so
ways.
He didn't really give her much. They maybe a name. So
they gave the name. Yeah. And I think he gave like a physical description. He was like, he's 35. Blonde, blue eyes.
Where he would be, essentially, too.
Yeah. Mm,
okay.
See, he did give them some info.
Okay.
And then
he wants
his
window.
Yes. So they wheel him back to his little, like, temporary jail cell, which is like a prison room in the middle of a room. So it's just bars.
Like, yeah, it's like a cage in the middle of a ballroom, like essentially. And it's, like, decorated with all these, like flags. It's, like, very patriotic in the mm-hmm. room. And very beautiful, too. So... not important, but he's being guarded.
Okay.
Yeah. And Clarice comes in to visit him. And because she's good at decoding his riddles, she says, Lewis Friend is an anagram for iron sulfide, which is fool's gold. Like, you're sending them on a fool's errand, essentially.
That's insane.
Right? Right? That's so many steps to take.
Again, she gets him, you know... She's his perfect woman. Yeah. She like sees through his bad boy self.
Honestly, like, he's tough, but
human.
They have like a language.
They've got a connection. He does say, actually, in this scene, people will think that we are in love because she keeps like coming to visit him.
Yeah, it is like a weird like theme between them that there is like
sexual tension.
Yeah, it's very one-sided, but she plays along to be safe.
Yes, yes.
Hey, ladies.
That's what it's like to be a woman.
This movie is exactly what it's like to be a woman.
Yes.
Man, I feel like a woman.
They play that in the credits, right?
Yeah, the roll credits.
So he basically like keeps saying to her, like, everything you need to know is like to catch him is in the file. Like, if you just look hard enough, you'll find
file.
It.
Because he hands her the file back that she had given him.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So they go to, she leaves, the guards come to feed him dinner. And you see him kind of in his little, he has like a little, he's behind a curtain and he's spitting out the pen in his mouth.
A piece
of the pen, like the ink part, the little metal
cartridge.
Yeah. Yes. And kind of tucks it away. You don't really see where he puts
it. Yeah,
it
like must be between two fingers, or something. Then they have him put his hands through the bars and they handcuff him so that he's like, you know,
restrained while they bring him his food.
Because they know better. Because
mm-hmm.
they know he'll eat.
Because he'll attack them.
So then they come in. He unlocks his damn handcuffs
with the pen.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
And does he?
Is it that easy to unlock? Don't you just certain key?
Hannibal's so smart.
He's really, really good at what he does.
He's okay. very good at what he does.
He unlocks his own
hand. Does he bite the man's...
I think he bites the first man.
He bites the man's nose almost off. He then pepper sprays him and like knocks him out.
He grabs the pepper spray off because they're like cops.
Right. So he got
So he grabs it off his belt, pepper sprays him, and then he starts beating him with something. What is it?
Well, I think what he does first, actually before that, is the second guard. He puts his handcuffs on the second guard, so the second guard can't go anywhere. So then the other one, literally, your mind freaked out. So that's when he bites the nose and then sprays the other guy. And then, so that guy's on the ground screaming. Then with the nightstick of the other guy, he just slowly beats him. Just
it's so creepy. His face.
Like he's making like a...
The guy who's handcuffed?
Yes. Oh, they don't show it. They
it's just like blood splatter up on him.
And he's like smiling. He has blood all over his teeth.
He never blinks. He's just like unblinking, staring, beating him to death.
Yeah.
Oh no. It's so scary. Wait. Hold on. So, okay. He killed the other guy. He bit the nose off of...
And pepper sprayed
him.
Yeah. So we only see one of them is dead right now.
And the guy who got handcuffed got beaten to death.
Yes. And then the other one is like badly injured.
And is the cell door open now because they came in?
Yes. But some alarm must go off that like notifies, like they maybe send in.
So what it is the cops downstairs see the elevator moving and they're like, that elevator should not be moving.
Mm-hmm.
No one should be going up or down. It's stopping at the third floor. What is happening up there?
Oh.
So then they rush up to go see what's happening up there. And when they enter the ballroom, they see a sight. So he has lifted from the ceiling. We have almost like an angel with arms spread wide. The man has been gutted. And he's like basically
the
flayed.
Nose guy?
No, the other one who was beaten to death.
Oh my
he's
God.
He's been flayed open, essentially.
How did he hang him from the ceiling?
With like the American flags, I think.
Yes, it's a lot of symbolism about America, you guys. A lot of American flag usage in this movie.
Oh my God.
And then the other cop is like on the ground and has like a lot of face lacerations. And they like
blood everywhere.
It's like blood everywhere. He's not doing well. And they're like, oh, he's alive. So they get him on a gurney. They're rushing him down to go to an ambulance.
It is really interesting. There's a little interesting part of the scene where, like, am I getting too in detail with this shit?
No,
this
I don't know.
Like it's like,
but this movie, everything good is
so
in the details.
Good. So this guy, like, he's like, one of the cops is like, he's still breathing. And they're like, talk to him. He's like, what do I say? He's like, God damn it, that's our friend. You talk to him. It's like a weird moment where his boss is like, you know him. You know what to say. Talk to your friend. Like,
right.
And so he's like whispering. He's like, you look great. You're
going to
be fine.
That is a good detail. It's very humanizing.
Yeah,
it's also very kind of real.
And this is where Chris Isaac is like around.
Oh, yeah.
There's movement on the fourth floor. And so they're like in the elevator taking him down on a gurney, like to take him out to EMS.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's blood dripping from the top of the elevator.
Oh God! Oh no!
And so they're like,
he's on top of the elevator.
And so, like, Chris,
the elevator that they're
in. So yeah, they're like, he's above the elevator.
So
they act like they don't see it. They're like, everything's fine.
Yes.
Like we're still taking him out to the ambulance.
Everything is going
according
to plan.
What are you guys doing for dinner?
While like quietly like signaling to like send more people in
and
more of the SWAT people.
This is where Chris Isaac comes in
because
he's like up there or whatever he says. So they're up on another floor looking down and they like shoot. They're like wound him in the leg.
They see like a person
on top of the elevator
laying on top of the elevator and they shoot him.
They shoot him and he doesn't move.
Respond.
And then when they finally do get him,
they like open it up from below eventually. And it falls down.
And it's not Hannibal.
And it's the other cop in his clothes.
No.
And then it cuts to the ambulance and he peels off. He was wearing the other man's
face.
No.
And he sits up and you know what he does to those ambulance guys?
No. He was wearing his face.
He was wearing his face.
Okay, that doesn't work in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can do that in real life.
What is that a quote from? It's the Bloodhound Gang? Have you ever heard the Bloodhound Gang? They sing about this in one of their songs. He goes, I'll wear your face like a mask while I do my little kooky dance.
Oh my God.
Okay, wait. So, okay. Hannibal flayed the one guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Killed the other guy.
and put him in, switched clothes with him.
Put his face on Hannibal's face.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Put the other guy's body on top of the elevator mm-hmm. in Hannibal's
His face and hair.
And so the guy that his friend who he was talking to
was whispering sweet nothings to Hannibal,
the whole time, and they didn't realize it was Hannibal until Hannibal's already in the ambulance. Motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Great scene,
Emily,
though.
It's bad.
But good.
Good scene. Holy hell. Okay.
And then Clarice and Ardelia are doing they're like going through the evidence. The folder that he gave back to him.
They're pinging. They're ponging. They're really getting. They're brainstorming.
She's like, he said everything we need is right here. And he's written a note on a map that it's like the location that they found the three bodies. And he says, doesn't this seem desperately random or something like that?
Yeah. And like earlier they said, like, what is he doing? He's coveting. What do we covet? Mm-hmm. We covet what we see. Mm-hmm. So he's already planted this for her. And so she's like saying it back to
right.
her. She's like, Ardelia, what do we covet? And Ardelia's like, we covet what we see. And she's like, yes. And it's this weird back and forth. Ardelia's like, yeah, you're Hannibal now.
Normal. Good, 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 good.
Girl talk.
And so Clarice figures out he must have known the first victim. Third body found, because that was his first crime, and he covets what he sees every day.
Yeah, why would you weight one body down and not the other ones? Because you know that person, you're ashamed, you don't want to be caught, you know?
Right, right. So then she starts going back to that family's house. Can't remember where it is, but she's like, I'm going to interview the dad again, go look through his house. And let's see what the order of this is. Yeah. Okay. So
it's complicated.
There's a lot of cutting back and forth.
Yes. This is all like cutting back and forth now. Now it's
good scene.
Goodbye horses.
All right.
Oh my God. Yes.
So they're playing Goodbye Horses, and you see a close up of someone putting lip gloss on over and over and over. We see his whole body too. I don't know the exact sequence, but like he's wearing a kimono. He's topless. He's got a little a teardrop on a nipple ring.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Got a thorn in his side. He's got a lot of tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting on this lip gloss, and he says another iconic thing is like, would you fuck me?
Oh.
I'd fuck me so hard.
Oh my God.
As he's wearing the scalp
head.
Is it a lady scalp?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And so he gets up in his kimono completely nude, and he tucks his dick because he's doing this for a camera. He's like dancing in front of a camera. So he tucks his dick and then kind of is like dancing like he's a woman,
mm-hmm.
like seducing the camera.
And while this is happening, because he's pretty distracted, Catherine is in the well trying to lure Precious with a bone.
A
chicken bone. So she has the bucket that she's like flung up with the bone, and she's trying to basically like
pull
the dog in
to
get some leverage.
And she is, you can tell her hands are bony now. She's like lost weight.
Yeah.
She's been starved.
Oh.
So we're getting close to when he's going to kill her.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's also probably why he's in such a good mood.
Probably. Yeah, he's feeling great.
He's like, this is going to be a good day. I can tell.
Oh, God. That's so disturbing.
I'm gonna get some soft, moisturized skin.
Oh, it puts the lotion on the skin.
And then, so back to the first victim's house. She sees that she has a sewing room.
Yes. Well, after she finds, she's going through the girl's room, and she finds in one of those jewelry boxes with the dancing ballerina, she finds nude pictures of this girl.
Uh-huh.
Like, not fully nude, but like someone's been taking pictures of her nude, and she also is a bigger woman.
Uh-huh.
And so she's looking in another room, and in her sewing room, she sees a dress with two diamond
pattern
shape.
Like the sewing pattern of it is the same pattern that was cut out of her back. And so it's like it's the way you would cut fabric to make a suit.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh God.
And
oh
so
God,
she God. Like she freaks out and
she calls
Crawford,
and she's like, he's making a suit, or whatever. He's like,
making a human suit.
Yeah. She like figures it out, and he's like, don't worry, we got him. We know who he is.
Right. They've like tracked down like the hospital records where he tried to get like a gender reassignment surgery, and they found
they don't have his real name, address.
They've cross-referenced things and they've found where he had like the moths sent to also. Mm. And his name is James Gum. They're like, we got him. He's in Chicago. We're on our way there now. They're in a plane. And but then he also says like, but like, we want to make sure we have like the strongest case we have. So keep like interviewing her friends and stuff and to like, tie him to this murder. Like,
hey, Starling, this wouldn't happen without you. Good job, guys.
Oh, God, good job. He sucks.
So he's like condescending.
He sucks.
Yeah. And so she then goes to talk to her first victim's best friend, and that gets information from her that like, oh, we used to work for this woman, Mrs. Lipman, doing alterations for her. Yes, I don't know what she's hoping to find out, but she's basically just trying to like, I guess, tie Buffalo Bill to this crime. Definitively.
And so she is like, great, I'll go talk to Miss Lipman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so as that's about to happen, we cut back to the other scene and they have like a flower delivery guy who's about to like, they have SWAT ready. They're going to go like storm this house.
And then it's like inside we see Buffalo Bill. She and Catherine has like gotten the dog.
Yes.
And so the tension is like ramping up inside. Yeah. The dog is hurt and he's like, don't you hurt my dog. And she says, don't you make me hurt your dog. She's like, I need a cell phone. And then as that's happening, he gets the bell is ringing and you see the like flower man outside.
Yeah. And so we cut to, he opens the door and it's Starling.
Oh! And they raided the wrong house.
They're in a house that's empty.
And that's the Miss Lipman's address.
Yes. That's Miss Lipman.
No.
No.
I literally have chills.
I have
even
chills
just
right
like,
now.
Oh, my no. God.
Wait, it's truly like, huh. Fuck.
Oh, God.
Like, are we
so
getting
bad.
Too granule because no. We're going to ruin this for everyone? Okay.
No.
And that's the point.
Literally, that's the no. point.
So
the whole point is these details.
So we find out that he's like, oh yeah, I bought this house after her or whatever.
Does she know that it's him?
Not initially.
Isn't he wearing a scalp?
No. He's like, as he's like right up the stairs, he's like putting on normal.
He's like trying to be normal.
He even like tucks his shirt in. It's
yeah,
crazy.
And he's like, oh, like I have her son's business card. Maybe that can help.
He's asking,
isn't he wearing a scalp?
It's like, he's so obviously him.
He took it off.
I forgot to take this off before I opened the door.
Like right before he opens the door.
Yoink.
Like it's a sitcom.
Better get my scalp off.
He's asking her like a ton of questions. He's like, well, do you guys have fingerprints or do you like he's
like the police around here don't seem to know anything. Like, yeah. Really, yeah, do you have a name? Do you have a description?
And then is it that she sees a moth?
She sees a moth and a sewing machine. And she's like in the house with like the door closed behind her now. Mm. And she starts to like, you see that she gets really, she unbuttons her gun.
So he's like turned around, like looking, and she is so cool how she does. Like, she just kind of flips up her gun.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, can I use your phone? And he is like, sure. And he starts cracking up.
He starts really laughing. It's trying to like cover his laughing. It's so like unnerving.
You know, in that moment that he knows he's caught. She knows that he knows. Like, everybody knows, like the jig is up there.
And you see that he has a gun hidden behind, like on his stovetop
in
another
room.
So she's like,
nervous though. She doesn't grab her gun immediately. She grabs it and is like, freeze. And he's already gone. And so she's like, fuck, like she just has to go after him.
So she's like chasing him through his fucking disgusting nasty house filled with like moth
cocoons. Oh my god.
The top part of the house is gross enough.
Yes. And then the basement is like are there even walls? Like, it's like dirt.
It's so, so gross.
Well, like, the well is like dirt, obviously.
She like runs into a room and sees a half finished lady skin suit.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Ew.
She sees Catherine and Catherine's like, save me. And she's like, Catherine, you have to calm down.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you, but I have to go right now. And she's like, you fucking bitch. Catherine's mad. Look, she's cold. She's wet.
She's hungry. She's about to be murdered for all she knows. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, she's having a day.
Oh my God.
And so she runs into another room, and in that room, in the bathtub,
Ooh.
Is a completely liquefied corpse.
Ooh. Oh, what?
It's our Miss Lipman.
Oh, he's killed her.
Yeah. I mean, we're to assume that's who.
Wait, it is. Liquefied? Like, what does that even mean?
Like, I feel like in Breaking Bad, like how they try to like dissolve people's bodies to get rid of it. It's like he's doing that.
And so she's like, so she like fucking knows, right?
For sure. For sure she knows.
Yes, she knows. She knows.
She didn't need the scalp.
She definitely knows.
Already knows.
So she goes into a room that is completely pitch black.
No, he cuts the lights everywhere.
Yes. Okay,
he turns off the lights in the whole building, and she's in like the basement.
Nighttime?
So it was in the basement.
Okay,
so also, and all the windows are painted black.
Yeah. So we didn't mention earlier in the scene where he takes Catherine, he is in the woods watching her through night vision goggles.
So he can see.
So he turns on his night vision goggles and she's in the dark, and it is the spookiest looking scene.
I have it filmed on my phone. I sent it to Jenna because I was so scared watching it.
It's like really that scary. Night vision and Jodie Foster. She has that look of like someone who's completely like suddenly blind.
Where you're blind, and she's just like frantically pressing herself against the wall, and he's just so in control of this. He's just watching her like freak out, and then eventually
he's like touching. He almost
reaches out to her face, and she's like not noticing, and he's almost touching her. He's right there. She doesn't feel. She's like so in the dark, can't even tell.
And then he takes out his gun.
Oh God.
And he cocks it, and when she hears the cock, she spins around and just starts shooting.
And she shoots out one of the windows during the shootout, so then it's light again.
Mm-hmm. And you see him, like, sputtering blood on the floor.
She shot him a lot of times.
Okay,
good. Okay, good.
Like, it is, like, a panic moment where she's good. Also, we see a lot of Nazi memorabilia
there.
Yes. Guess what? He's also a white supremacist.
In case we were concerned about whether or not he's cool.
Yeah, he's not good. He's definitely not a good one.
She got him. He dies.
Crawford and them come to her. Mm-hmm. It's a very annoying shot as she's like leaving So they bring Catherine out. Catherine's got the dog. You can tell Catherine's going to keep that dog.
Yes, yeah.
Catherine's going to make her cat get along with that dog.
Yes.
Oh, also, God. Did we know earlier the cat growls? When Catherine gets taken away, the cat growls.
Oh, my cat growls sometimes. It's really cute. I was just going to say, like, I was like, would I want that dog? I don't know.
No, I would not want that dog.
I think I would pass on that dog.
Hell no.
I get that the dog had no choice in the matter, but
you know what it is? It's like in Speed when Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock kind of had this intense moment. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, we're in love now.
Yeah.
She feels that about Precious.
Where it's like, I overcame this.
Yes,
and
they
this
got through it together.
Yes.
It's what they try to manufacture on The Bachelor on every single one of those one-on-one dates.
Yes, exactly.
They're like, go skydiving. You're in love now.
Exactly. You're in love now. So when Crawford arrives on the scene, he immediately puts his arm around Starling and then like waves the cameras away.
Mm. Oh, fuck Crawford.
And it's like so weird and belittling.
Yeah.
Ew.
So then we have her graduating from the academy. So she's a full-fledged...
Wait, so what happened to Hannibal?
We're getting there.
Okay. We're getting there.
So we're at her reception. She's an FBI agent. Crawford's like hanging out in the back, like winking at her and stuff.
Ew.
And so they're like, Starling, you got a phone call. And then she runs into Crawford and he's like, you know, I think you're great. You're going to be blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember what he says. It's just like, it's so clear that like, he's like, I would like to fuck you a lot.
Yeah.
And she's like, get in line. I mean, she's nice. So then she goes to the phone call, and who's on the phone? It's Hannibal Lecter.
Of course. Hello, Clarice.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You're good at it too, Emily.
Thank you.
And he's
so
like,
much.
Don't bother tracing the phone call. I won't be on the line. And he's like, I'm and we see he's like wearing like Tommy Bahama. he's got like
he's
a white fedora.
West, baby.
He's somewhere in an island town.
Like Margaritaville.
Exactly. And he's on a payphone, and he says, I'm going to meet an old friend for dinner. And
he
then we
says,
see
I'm having an old,
I'm
friend,
having
for
an old
dinner.
Friend for dinner. That's what it is. I'm having an old friend for dinner. And we see Dr. Frederick in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just hangs up, and she's like, Dr. Lecter, Dr. Lecter.
She says it so many times.
Dr. Lecter.
Like, he hung
Dr.
up.
Lecter. Dr. Lecter. Dr. Lecter. And then we just see him like walking away, walking into a crowd as the like camera pans back. And that's it. That's it.
Oh my God.
Woo.
We don't get him. He's not God.
No. Well, it's a series. Wait, is this roll credits? Shania Twain, I Feel Like a Woman.
Yes.
Thing about being a woman.
It's a series?
You said it's based on books, and it is like, I don't know if it's a trilogy or more, because there's Red Dragon, there's, well, Hannibal, I think, is the next one, and then Red Dragon is the third one.
Did they make other movies?
Yes.
There's actually one before it called, is it Mindhunter? Like, that is like a Hannibal.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I know that I've seen most of them, but this is the only one that really I remember.
I also, like, while I was watching this, I was like, it's so interesting they cast Jodie Foster, who kind of came on the scene as a child prostitute. Like, that was her first.
From Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, this over-sexualized young woman.
Right, right, right.
And, like,
right.
to put her in this role where she's, like, over-sexualized, even though she's not doing a thing to, like, mm-hmm.
to be
that.
Sexual. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
Emily, how are you doing?
That was amazing.
I truly was going through the motions, being like, are murderers scarier than ghosts? Always thought ghosts were scarier.
Are you insane? Look, if something crashes in your house, you gotta pray for a ghost. Because
well, demon. Let's say demon instead.
Even still, we're not positive what it can do in our physical world. You know,
true.
A man in your house,
true.
What they can do.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've always been stubborn about it, and I've always thought demons were scariest, and this was the first time that I was like, this is fucking scary.
You always want a ghost. Over.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Marcy, thank you so much for saying that, because this has been my point of view.
It's true.
Since
Henley
day
has always been
one.
Yeah.
Men are way scarier than ghosts.
Yeah. Best case scenario, you got a ghost who's gonna be like, I opened a cabinet.
Oops.
Like, they're gonna be like, I want you to confront my abusive mother.
Yeah. They're just like, can you see me? If not, maybe knock something off the shelf.
Wow. I love this movie. I honestly don't know if I can see it, though. It sounds really tough.
It's pretty scary.
It is scary and like
just disturbing. And like, will stick with you.
But man, does it sound so very good.
Yeah, I think it's Ed Kemper who made who used like the skin of his victims to make like lampshades.
Ed Gein.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a lamp with a belt made of nipples. Like, that's a literal thing he made.
God.
And then, back to that, the hodgepodge of people. It was, so it's Ed Gein, Ted Bundy, and Gary Heidnick. And Ed Gein was the skin one. Ted Bundy was the luring women by acting injured. And Gary Heidnick kept women in a pit in his basement.
Jesus Christ.
As like sex slaves.
Oh my God. Everything is so bad.
Everything
and those
is
are
bad.
Real people.
Exactly. Yeah. That's awful.
I like was reading a really interesting article about Catherine, the last victim, and that she like that if the stereotype of a fat woman is that she's lonely, gullible, starved for affection. And therefore an easy victim. Also like the idea that he was like, he needs someone fat that he can make skinny so their skin is loose, whatever. I don't think that's, I don't know, maybe, I guess, but but that she wasn't your typical because she was so boisterous and like,
right,
she was so strong. But also it's like all very insulting as a fat woman, as a fat woman.
Even that implication is like, isn't she an unusual?
Yeah.
Right.
It's wow. Like,
well,
does she this girl's brave enough to not just be killed? She's got a lot of golfer, fat lady.
And this is also maybe walking into like some controversial territory, but I wonder also how people will look back on this film once trans rights have like fully manifested themselves in our society, and like the fact that the villain is so like deeply disturbed and also trans is probably not.
There is a line in it. What do they say?
They do say that like he believes he's trans, but he's not.
Because Clarice at one point is like, trans people are not violent people.
Yes.
And he says, correct. Like he just believes he's trans because he hates himself so much. He was I can't remember.
And it's essentially like he doesn't want to be a woman.
He doesn't
want to
be.
He wants to control these women and he wants to kill them.
He hates himself.
He doesn't want to be himself.
Yeah. Got it.
But it is interesting. It has very modern themes in it.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And but it is, yeah, it's so interesting. There's the interesting race stuff, the
feminism stuff.
Feminism, sizeism and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Marcy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We're all terrified of murderers now, which is maybe a good
thing. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And
be scared. Yeah. Be scared always.
Takeaways are, be scared of men always, no matter what. Yeah. Best case scenario, they're fine and normal. Worst case scenario, they're going to kill you. And most likely, they're annoying. So avoid men at all costs.
Yeah. Same for everything.
Yeah. Across the board. So. There it is.
Bleak.
Sorry. This podcast is bleak.
Marcy, you did such an amazing job telling us about this movie. I feel like, honestly, I do want to see it, though. I'm inspired
to see
it.
I think you should.
I'm going to.
Watch it. Be scared.
Right. Should we all do the
Hannibal Lecter
voice?
Okay.
Goodbye, Clarice.
It's awful.
I felt bad to do.
I hated that. Hey, everyone. It's Henley. Thanks for listening to another episode of Too Scary, Didn't Watch. If you had a great time listening to us talk to Marcy about Silence of the Lambs, head over to iTunes and subscribe. Also, if you're feeling like it, leave us a review, hopefully 5 stars. We're also on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at TSDW Podcast. So follow us, leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll talk to you next week.